Listen to the wind blow. Watch the sunrise. Run in the shadows. Damn your love, damn your life.
Welcome everyone to the Real BS Show. I can't tell you which show this is because we've got so many now. But instead of our real BSing, we're going to have two very, very special guests. And, well, I'm not even really sure. What's the name of the outfit? We have Dale Vico and Melissa Tomcho. Now, Melissa's got a great story to tell you. But Dale Vico, what's the name of the Federation or whatever?
Well, I have what's called Guts and Glory Productions.
Okay.
But that was a spinoff of my oldest brother, Dan Carr, Patch Dan Carr. Okay. He always had no guts, no glory. So I kind of spun on it and called it Guts and Glory Productions. So the upcoming event will be No Guts, No Glory.
So upcoming event, you're talking Erie?
Erie, yes.
Okay. Yep. All right. Well, and Melissa, why don't you say hello to everybody and tell us your special profession.
Well, hello. I'm Melissa Tomcho, and my occupation, I'm a middle high school principal, and I am a competitive arm wrestler.
Amazing. I mean, I was shocked when you showed me the trophies. We walked in your office. Remember, I was up there for the solar panel?
That's right. Classes. That's a long time ago.
Yeah, and you said, look, wow. I wish our principal would have looked like her. I would have been much better. I would have been a much better student. Okay, well, let's listen to these high women sing, and when this song's over, we'll dig right into it. Okay, Seth?
That sounds good. I can still hear you say you would never break the chain.
Welcome back to the BS Show, the Real BS Show. Now, the BS stands for Bill and Seth, not yes. What you're thinking.
I'm the stuff.
It's not bull stuff. It's Bill and Seth. We got to keep correcting everybody about that.
That's the deal.
I don't know how we fell into that. Right. But anyways, Dale, Melissa, I have a million questions, and I don't know anything. So I guess the best way to start off would be to, I mean, how did this all happen? How did it happen for you?
Well, it started back in when I was 16 years old. I mean, before that, I was arm wrestling. My brother went in, you know, just like school, like we all done in the past.
Yeah, sure.
Local roller skating rink, I won't forget, doing it. But as I was 16, my oldest brother, Dan Carr.
Know him well.
You know, he actually had a minor, actually a major accident. He was an iron worker, and fell over 30 feet. He was at that time about 240 pounds. Could have been the youngest Mr. America.
Right.
Cut everything, but he was more about, you know, strength and improving it. And when he fell, when he came out of the hospital, he weighed 150 pounds, 6'4".
Wow.
Weighed 150 pounds, 400 stitches in his body. 85% of his left lung is taken out, and his one side of his face is just crushed. All right, yeah. So now they plastic surgery rebuild him, and he decided to, you know what, to prove himself, and without using illegal steroids and drugs, he built himself back up. And in order to prove himself, that's when he went into arm wrestling.
Hmm.
So
he introduced you pretty much.
He introduced me to it, and so now he's world champion.
Did your sister Cheryl ever do any arm wrestling?
She may have. I just don't know about her. Okay. Because you know she's...
I'll check out with her.
She is one tough... one tough chick, all right?
Yeah,
she was always...
I've known her forever. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, she would never...
And Bill.
Oh, yeah.
Know.
Never...
But he went the legal route. He's a policeman.
Yeah.
You don't need to arm wrestle.
No. You know, and so what happened was the local radio station had this 8-week tournament in 1977. And I went and entered. And I won't forget, I went up. I was the lightest person there and the youngest, 16 years of age, 125 pounds. Went up, and I go with my first guy I go up against. He's wearing this tank top. You know, he's weighing 150 pounds. I went up. I put him right down. Huh. My brother looked at me. The next guy, I didn't hear the announcement. And his name was Eddie DeLuca. And I didn't hear that he was a Great Lakes champion. I go up there, and his hand just wraps around my hand.
Yeah.
Intimidating,
out. Huh?
Oh, yeah, you know. But he looked like me. He's like, well, geez, I'm thinking this guy, you know.
Hey.
I held him for a little bit, and he beat me. Well, so my first win, my first loss. And I won't forget, because one thing about arm wrestlers is I always say they're unassuming. You can't judge by looking at somebody when it comes to arm wrestling.
Well, when I was a wrestling coach, you know, for Fort LaBeouf, I told the guys, I says, you don't lose. If you have a loss, the only way you're going to lose is if you didn't learn anything. You know, if you learn something from what your losses, you're a winner.
Exactly.
And you just keep going, you know. Just.
And I got a phone call from Danny that night. You know, beforehand, he had told me some things, and he says, wow, he says, you know, he said, you impressed me. He says, man, that first guy. And the second guy, by the way, I trained him, and he's no slouch, and you held him, you know. So each week, like I said, at the end of it, I was 8 wins, 8 losses, 16 years of age, and as time went on, and I went in the Air Force in 1982, so about 5 years later, and I'm traveling around. I was up in Maine, and did some tournaments there, and before you know it, in 1998, I'm doing my very first tournament, putting it on in Florida. So kind of fast forward all that.
So, I mean, I know sports, and no matter what sport you're in, you have to practice. Or playing music, same thing. I mean, I think whatever you do in life, you got to practice. And I'm sure I don't know how you do it, but there's a lot of technique involved, and you have to learn it, right?
Exactly.
You have coaches. And
you have coaches, and I would say, you know, you have people that have been around for a long time that give you these tips, and no matter how long you've been doing it. But what's kind of neat is the new people also have ways.
You can learn from both.
Exactly. And because it's reacting and acting towards an opponent. And that's one thing about arm wrestling. And I will say that to people that have never been to an event, it's not the ballroom brawl.
Well, I'm raising my hand because I've never been there.
And you need to come because, like Melissa will attest to, it's not the ballroom brawl thing. And matter of fact, when young people come out and one of the events we did in Titusville, again, it was a community event. Here we have tough competition, but we're benefiting. We're benefiting a family who had lost someone, and we were raising money. And there was a lot of small children there. So I always take advantage of that. And I'll say, you know what? We tell the competitors, you come up here, hoot and holler, scream, stomp your feet. Only thing we don't do is no cuss, all right?
Yeah.
But you get real competitive. You act like you're gonna rip that other person's arm off. But what you will see afterwards, shaking hands, hugging, and people going off and talking to each other about,
well, you meet a lot of people that way. I remember in sports, you know, whether it's high school or college, these guys are all over the continent, probably all over the world, and they're still my friends. My best friend is in Philadelphia. He's NCAA Division I, third winningest coach in the history of the NCAA. And we're still friends, and we play music.
Yeah, exactly. And Dan would get so, and he realized after he would take a towel and just rip it right in half. You know, just his hand right before he, and he'd have the Native American headdress on, and he'd go up there. And not only that, because at 250 pounds, he's going against guys 400 or 500 pounds. Yeah. He decided, you know what, I'm going to go in the super heavyweight division. Mm. And this is back in the 1970s. You know, a little bit different outlook back then than there is, I think, now. Mm-hmm. A lot more colorful, I would even say. But we're building up characters. I always like to give nicknames to people during the middle of the arm wrestling, you know. And we get the crowd. The biggest thing is what we're really proud of is I like to get the spectators involved. If they're just sitting there.
Sure, it works for everything, yeah.
And I've had arm wrestlers come up and I say, hold it. You know what? These people aren't going to arm wrestle. You're out there like you're at a ballet. No, I want some hooting, hollering, some screaming. And by the time that event is done, the audience is tired out just as much because
they're wore out too, huh?
Exactly. Because all of a sudden you're picking somebody you don't even know, but all of a sudden you're cheering for that person. You'll become knowing them.
Yeah.
True, Melissa?
Absolutely. And that's what Dale's talking about is that family atmosphere at these tournaments.
See, that you would never guess. That's part of it.
And even within the arm wrestlers, the different teams, it's really supportive, helpful. As a new arm wrestler a few years ago, readily welcomed and helped so that I didn't injure myself. So very supportive in the guidance that they provide. So
a lot of good camaraderie then as far as
can you get into how you got started?
What was it that the very first thing that I don't know whether it's an advertisement on radio or TV or what got you going?
That was it exactly, Bill. So they had a tournament at the Bayfront Convention Center. I didn't realize that it was like a Pennsylvania like state tournament. It was back in, I think it was like 2015. So I just showed up. Never had my arm on a table. Never competed before.
Wow.
And I just didn't even know what the word pulled was. I was just going to go arm wrestle. So arm wrestled.
And did you win?
I won.
Whoa.
What place?
First.
Jeez.
State of Pennsylvania.
Well,
the state competition.
But we also have to go with what Dale's talking about. It wasn't like there was 30 women there, you know? So,
well, still, I mean, just boom, just like that. I mean, you got fired up then, right?
Well, you know, I got to say, it's like a lot of these women now. Cindy, who's with me, she says, you know, when I was in school, and you're going to say probably the same thing, how many boys they went against, and they beat these boys in arm wrestling, true? Right? You know, elementary school, and they beat these boys.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's tough, these guys. I said, well, you know what, you get into competition. And so that's why I kind of emphasize, I like to bring the people out of the woodwork.
Right.
Somebody who's never done it before.
Right.
Because you tend to, in a town, have the same arm wrestlers.
Right.
Okay, you can be the big fish in a little pond. Well, now what I'm trying to do is let's get this pond bigger and see how big you are.
Right.
And what it does, too, is it prepares you for larger tournaments to move on. So I want top competition, but I want to prepare the people here locally to be able to go on to larger events.
Well, you
know,
I was talking to the wrestlers up at Union City there. And some of them were pretty good, but they'd lose. And they just whoosh, down in the dumps. And I'd say, look, I said, there isn't a wrestler in this state that isn't going to lose. We all lose, at least towards the end anyways. I mean, you keep going, you're going to lose. It just happens. And if there's one or two people in this whole world that have never lost, I don't know who they are.
Well, that's
you know, you gotta learn from your mistakes. Boom, and keep going.
And let me get back to the nice stuff, because one of the things about the events, I make sure no one walks away from the table embarrassed. Nobody will be embarrassed. You lose, but you're not gonna be there, because I'll tell you what, that crowd, once you get the crowd going, and they're cheering, they see the hard fought up there. it takes a lot more than just your arm. And people say the whole body. You have a lot of energy. And
see, that's the part I don't know exactly. I mean, I can understand what you're saying, but
I mean, you got rules and structure to how it's being done, and I'm sure.
Well, weight classes too.
Yeah, I didn't know that part. That there was weight classes, but the form and stuff is all important, and I know that. But you're talking about it's not just the arm; it's also the upper body and.
And let's just talk about weight classes real quick. Here's what I want to say, though, because I get this all the time. How about age? And I'm going to tell you what. You go from 16-year-olds up to in their 60s arm wrestling.
That's me. 69.
And I have seen the 60-year-olds win, and I've seen the 16-year-old win. All right? So that's one thing about this sport.
Yes.
You do have age classes, too? Age brackets?
Depends on the event. You know, different tournaments and depends on the interest. Because, listen, you know, trophies and awards cost money. Always trying to find sponsors. And that's the help of what we're doing here and be getting it more aware out in the community. Again, because when a business or a person's willing to help put some money up, we tell them, hey, well, this is what it's going for.
Right.
And that's where the sport's grown, because here you have tough competition. Don't take away just because it's a benefit that it's any less of a meaning. That's why we have titles. Right.
Well, you're doing good. I mean, you're doing the sport, but you're actually helping a charity or something at the same time,
exactly.
Which is a double win, I guess you could say.
And we're always usually helping out the business that we're having it at.
Right.
Now, again, we've had events at malls and we've had events at car dealerships. But yes, a lot of times we're having it at a bar or at a club. But what we're doing is we're having it in the afternoon. So people say, can I bring my children there? Yes, you can.
Right.
I always like to have a place where you can. Now, understand, there's people going to be drinking some alcohol. But this is the beauty of it. I've done the late night things. I've done it. We're at Pensacola, the university. Say, will you come to the university here in Northwest Florida? And I said, yes. And then they tell me, oh, by the way, we're going to start at midnight. Okay. You know, so here we go. We're doing this and we're doing an event, but it's still, because we have such pride in our sport, because we've been wanting it to be, and I'm jumping way ahead here, we've for years been wanting to be an Olympic sport. And we continue. I mean, okay, not to knock badminton, all right?
Yeah.
But how does badminton become an Olympic sport? And as arm wrestlers, well, wait a minute. Where have we overcome? And just to kind of let you know, we've had the American Arm Wrestling Association and the Olympic Committee said, we recommend you change the name, which they did, to American Arm Sport Association. And we're still not there in the Olympics yet.
Yeah.
But again, that's getting into the big picture. But this is where the heart of is.
They tried to do away with wrestling in the Olympics.
And it's true.
Boy, what a firestorm that caused. And you know, the people killed it. I mean, it was, so it's still in the Olympics.
I personally enjoy curling. I don't know if you've ever seen
that. Oh, I love curling.
It's the most absurd sport I've ever seen.
And I understand locally there is a place, and I want to go, but I'm not sure, it's in Titusville somewhere. I saw in a newspaper.
Right.
They do have a curling league.
Right. Huh.
But anyways, we're getting off subject, but I'm just saying.
Well, this is the BS show.
Exactly.
But now, how would somebody, if they wanted to start arm wrestling, what would you suggest for them?
Well, I'm going to tell you something. When I was at my best, as I was playing tennis, I'm going to tell you right now. And you're like, wow, because it is a lot of tendon strength.
Yeah.
It's not just bulk muscle. I always say it's the mechanics, for instance. It's women who work with horses I always found to be really good arm wrestlers. Because why? They're always working with their hands. So anyways, back to your question about how does somebody get started? It's an introduction of so many different ways. Like I said, it's brothers against brothers, brother against sister, sisters, people arm wrestle, right? Just to prove themselves.
Right.
It's a matter of getting to looking online for events. Mm-hmm. We had for years one of the strongest things was called the Northeast Board. It had all the arm wrestling events on there you could go to. But now what's nice is about Google, right? You just go on there,
boom,
arm wrestling event. And on there, Facebook is a great tool. I remember when I was doing tournaments in the year 2000, 2001, I did the Florida State Championships down there in Destin, Florida. And I put out over 300 letters in postage. I had a personal letter because I built a database up for every registration. I was putting them in. And each tournament, I just kept growing and sending personal letters out. So here I am now, electronically sending personal on Messenger. I'm up to the letter M. I've sent out over 250 personal invites.
Yeah.
And people responding, whether they can make it or not. So it's a matter of getting to know somebody. If somebody says, I don't arm wrestle, but usually you know somebody. Just like you and I talking, what did you say, Bill? Oh, I know somebody, this principal. I said, yes, Melissa.
Yeah, I was shocked. I mean, I was blown away, really.
Now, Melissa, when you were...
I mean, I'm proud of you. I think that's wonderful. I really do. It's too bad, you know, I don't know, maybe girls can wrestle now on the wrestling
team.
They
do pretty good, actually.
Are they wrestling?
Oh, yeah, I think there's a few girls on the team. But when you were younger, did you arm wrestle at all then?
Just like Dale said, you know, of course.
Family,
brothers, you know.
And you were smoking them? I mean, I just...
I probably held my own, won some, lost some, oh, you
sure.
know.
But. I just, what I'm looking at is let's say there's somebody out there that's like a casual arm wrestler. And has no clue about the sport at all. Like Bill, he doesn't know anything, and maybe he wants to arm wrestle. I
never thought
suggestion,
about it, but, you know.
Find
yeah.
a tournament. Just show up.
We'll watch.
And they'll go over. Dale will go over everything so that even if you've never ever, like I showed up, never ever had my arm on a table, didn't even know, put your hold onto this post and put your elbow here. They will go over everything. They will go over all the safety rules. They will go over how to grip up. They will go over everything so that you are. Even me, you will be calm. You'll be safe.
Yeah.
They'll prepare you, and then you just and they'll have the spectators behind you. You'll feel supported, and even after, I mean, you win or you lose, the other wrestlers there will come up. They'll congratulate you. Like I said, whether you win or you lost it. You'll get that support. You'll get the guidance of how to improve next time, and you will fall in love with the sport.
Now, what my question is too is you also mentioned ones that get more dedicated to the sport. They do training. What kind of training is involved? I mean, I'm curious about that aspect.
It's almost as unique to each person. I'll
really?
Tell you.
Huh.
It's funny because some people. They're doing pull-ups, they're doing push-ups, they're doing curls, they're doing wrists, but it is a whole body. It's the core.
Right.
You know, so it's really unique. If you got a small wrist, large wrist.
You work the weakness.
You work your weakness, you know. But the best training is to arm
Table
wrestle.
Time.
Because it does work different muscles that you're not used to. And that's where you do
you
have
know,
to work
it,
into.
It looks to me as though, I mean, if I'm just a wrestler, a regular kind of wrestler, but... Looks to me as though if you can anticipate that start button, you get a jump on them.
You're right. And that may
you
help.
You get a quick start.
But remember, that other person could also be anticipating that. And
yeah,
and it's
sure.
funny because different events
you
have.
Say, hey, look over there. Boom.
have well, you know, then yeah. we have heard people say, you know, I have bad breath. I'll breathe on them or I'll blow my
yeah,
kiss.
Eat some
you know,
onions.
I mean, there's
yeah,
so many
garlic
different things.
Or something.
And the movie Over the Top, you got the guy there. He's drinking the oil. You know, I mean, there's so many different
I
ways.
I think I saw that movie, not to mention it.
But I will tell you that arm wrestling to me is. And I'll say, I always say 30% mental. They say, well, you got to be mental? Well, yeah, maybe you do.
Yeah, crazy.
But
huh?
really, exactly.
No.
But it is 30% mentally because you can psych yourself out. You
right,
try to
right,
psych that
right.
other person, but I'll tell you, if you look, you say, oh, man, I got to go against this person. You know, even though you have weight classes, some people structure, look. We have some
guys. Do they actually lose weight to make weight?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Like in wrestling?
Just like in wrestling.
Yes.
Really? Ooh,
you
I don't
know,
want no
yeah.
part
now,
of that.
It's funny. I mean, like I said, we have guys that are big. You know, I asked good old Jim Walkowitz, well, Jim, how much you weighing these days? I'm about 3 1/4. I'm like, okay, you don't have to step on the scale. I don't have to worry about that, you know? But I have guys who are like, and they're already talking to me. I'm about 4 pounds. Are you going to give weight allowance for clothes? You know, they're that close. So that would, I said, look, I'm not going to have you strip down.
That was
here.
The worst part of wrestling. I had to lose weight every match for six and a half years.
Oh yeah, when I had a coach one time say, "Hey Dale,
every time
so and so can't wrestle tonight, how close are you to 126 pounds?" Oh, and I go in there and I'm 10 pounds over. I said, "Coach, I will lose it by tonight." So yeah, this is the 1970s, and then I had hair. All right, so I went to the Y and I went to the steam room and I lost weight. So here's what happens: get on the scale. Yeah, hey, I made the weight. I lost those pounds. I'm at 126 now.
Well, you put it all back on in the next half hour.
Well, and then what happened? I had hair. I couldn't go past the collar. Oh, coach is going to cut my hair. So I get this inverted V. I lost the weight. I lost my hair. And then I lost the match. You know, I go out there. Oh, and before I go out there, I'm warming up. Guy hits my nose. And I go out there. Nose is bleeding.
Well, that helps because you win.
You know,
you get fired up then.
That so how does times. This all relate to arm wrestling? Well, you know what? It can be very similar because you'll see people massaging the arms.
Right.
You see them, they're psyched up.
Loosening them up, yeah.
Exactly. You know, so there's some, I like to see the intensity.
Yeah.
We right now, sometimes some of the events, they go up there and it's like, you know, this is where I'll start and my voice changes, you know, and it's kind of funny because depending on the governing, we have governing bodies in arm wrestling. Mm. There's so many of them. You have the World Arm Wrestling Federation, the World Arm Wrestling League, the American Arm Sport Association. You have USAA. And this one is by the National, that's coming up November 9th, is by the National Power Arm Wrestling Association. So each governing body has a little bit different rules and different style. So what does that do? Well, to be a really outstanding arm wrestling, in my view, is to do them all. Because it's just like weightlifting. You have Olympic weightlifting, powerlifting, it's just like wrestling. You have Greco-Roman,
freestyle.
You know. Exactly. Same thing. So is one better than the other? No. You might be better at one style, but it's always, I always encourage, you know what, just because this is not your forte, to be a better, hit them all style, all the styles.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, like I said, back in the, it'd be the early 80s. Well, we bought that building down there, 26 and Peach, that big old schoolhouse, and we turned it into a giant warehouse and store and everything. And I ate down at your dad and mom's, I guess.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what, her peanut butter pie was the most wonderful thing I ever tasted in my life. I mean,
he told me this story too, by the way, before you came here.
If I had known that, well... Okay, well, I'll tell you. I
just amazing.
My significant other loves peanut butter, chocolate pie, and my mother's. You know, and it's funny because I have the recipe now, the original recipe, and I've yet to make it. I just got it not too long ago, her handwriting and everything. Wow. So I guess I owe you this.
I was good friends with her very much because I ate there every day. Every day, and lunch, usually breakfast, sometimes not. But and Cheryl always waited on me, and I think I had a crush on her for a while. And then she, once she got a job down there, and Paparelli Brothers.
Oh yeah. See, I left Erie in January of '82 because I went in the Air Force.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm retired Air Force. I was gone from Erie for 31 years, and I moved back in 2013, and. With Donnie Polonsky's place, 2014, that's where I had the tournament first time here. I've been doing it all down south. As a matter of fact,
was Danny, that Scooters?
Scooters, yeah. And Danny and I have been doing events. I did events down there in Florida. He's come, you know, to them, and he's being a pro wrestler trainer. So he brings the pro wrestlers over, which is kind of neat because locally here, I'm hoping with PWR that we're going to introduce them to arm wrestling and we'll have this introduced. So there's a lot of neat things that are going to happen.
Was Danny involved with, what's it called, American Gladiators or something?
Thank you so
store?
Much, Bill, for bringing because that's what I wanted to do. Yes. So I'm calling Dan. Dan always said the strongest, the longest in arm wrestling. I'm calling him also the originator because he originally started the Lower East Side Federation.
I remember doing sound for their boxing matches.
And they are building now, it's the Lower East Side Iron Eagles, and they are building a new center, which this event coming up is going to raise funds for that. Uh-huh. He was a co-founder, he was originator for the American Gladiators. the hit show, right, American Gladiators, right, which, right, if you think about the American Gladiators, think back, that was one of the first reality shows, because we finally took your average person, athlete, and put them on. It was always actors. With the Gladiators, it started, hey, we could actually bring real people that are not trained, you know, actors, and compete, and it was a hit show.
It was. Yeah, I remember.
You know,
I didn't know how involved he was with it, but I thought him and Polonsky were somehow involved with that. And
Donnie Polonsky was one of the original Gladiators, but it was Dan who created that whole show, the whole concept. I mean, the way it was is you had the iron workers had their annual picnic every year, and he came up with the games at the picnic, and this is how it all started. And then at Erie Tech High, they actually did the one of the first competitions for the Gladiators there. And actually, Dan and Donnie were going to be pro wrestlers, and they were actually going to be the Gladiators. That was, they had that all planned out to do that.
Yeah, I remember. That was, well, what I want to do, Seth, you tell me if we can do this. What I want to do is, well, I was out the other day, I was out to your brother-in-law's, Steve Waddle. Do you know? Okay, Steve and Cheryl.
Yes.
And we said, well, let's record, because Steve's a good singer, you know. And I said, well, you play your guitar. And he said, well, you got to play some bass. Okay. So we did two or three songs. And what I want to do is play one of those for you. And that way we can take a little break, get something to drink or whatever, and then we'll come back and talk about this some more.
While we're on break, I want you two to think of two, or like at least one memorable.
Memorable.
Thank you. I'm stuttering there. Event.
Seth's brain goes faster than his lips.
It's been a long day. that you guys both look at and appreciate.
Yeah, some special events and times and things that you've experienced, you know, that
good events,
really, memories, you know, because memories are everything.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get Steve rolling. Oh, I'm playing bass, Yeah, let's do that.
It's still the BS then, right?
Yeah.
Bill and Steve.
Bill and Steve, right, There we go.
On a long and lonesome highway east of Omaha, you can listen to the engines moaning out its one last call, and you can think about the woman or the girl you knew the night before. But your thoughts will soon be wandering the way they always do when you're riding 16 hours and there's nothing much to do, and you don't feel much like riding, you just wish the trip was through. Say, here I am on the road again. Here I am up on the stage. Here I go playing star again. There I go, turn the page. When you walk into the restaurant, strung out from the road, and you feel the eyes upon you as you're shaking off the cold, you pretend it doesn't bother you, but you just want to explode. Most times you can hear them talk, other times you can't. All the same old cliches. Is that a woman or a man? You always seem outnumbered. You don't dare make a stand. See, here I am on the road again. Here I am up on the stage. Here I go playing star again. Here I go, turn the page. there in the spotlight, you're a million miles away. Every ounce of energy that you try to give away, as the sweat pours out your body like the music that you play. Later on this evening, as I lie awake in bed, with the echoes from the amplifiers ringing in my head, I smoke the day's last cigarette, remembering what you said. See, here I am, on the road again. Here I am, up on the stage. Here I go, playing star again. There I go, turn the page. Say, here I am, on the road again. Here I am, up on the stage. Here I go, playing star again. There I go.
Welcome back to the Real BS Show. No GMOs, HMOs, CMOs, or any of that other stuff. This is the real deal.
The real deal, organic.
Well, we have two very special people. Of course, you know that already, but where do we want to go with this now?
I think the good memories. Good
memories, yeah. I mean, I have memories of wrestling in high school and college, and I'll never forget them, you know, and I'm sure you have the same kind of things. As participants, you know.
I think it's friendships.
Very much, very much.
As I've mentioned before, it's the arm wrestling community and the friendships that you establish through the years, not just with local people, but from around the state or even the world when you travel to different tournaments, not just within the arm wrestle themselves, but their families, because it is a family-oriented sport. I also think...
They can't see that, but I'm shaking my head because I remember all of that stuff from high school and college.
Thanks, Bill.
Big time.
I also think the competitive spirit, I can be very aggressive at the table and very competitive. But once I leave, it's very friendly and shaking hands and hugging, and that support is there again. I especially enjoyed in Michigan, the state tournament with Wags and Jody and Big Jim, who, you know, just from Team Relentless, enjoyed Dale's tournaments immensely. I haven't been competing as much, just not having the time, but that's also the thing about arm wrestling. You can leave the sport and then come back whenever you want. So I've enjoyed Dale's tournaments lately. It's different setup, and so I've had to work a little bit to become familiar with that. So it's been challenging, but it's been fun.
How about you?
Oh, there's so many of them. And I shared when I first started off at 16,
right?
You know, the local tournament. So I'd say in Florida, one of my first events in Florida, in the Panhandle, I had people from, here I am in Panama City. I had people from Texas, Tennessee, and West Palm Beach all come in. We weren't even offering money. And they would come because it was organized and the competition was there.
Right.
And one of my rules, I have two rules. One rule is everybody having a great time. The other rule is don't hit my table. All right? Because the tables, they cost some money. And they're and I have sanctioned tables. They're by specification. This is not just any old table put up with pads.
Right.
There's actual measurements and everything. And I tell them, don't hit my table. Well, I had this guy. His name was Billy Myers, weighing about 300 pounds. And he hit my table after his match, and he looked at me and says, "Oh, man, I'm sorry." And he gives me this big old hug. You know?
Did he break the table? Or?
No, he didn't break it.
Okay.
But because he realized he hit the table and the respect that everybody has for each other. And, all right, you know, I was actually 40 pounds lighter than I am now.
Well, did he lose? Is that the why he?
No, he just, I can't even remember. It's just the excitement. He just slammed his arm down at the end, you know.
Yeah.
And he looked at me. And I was reffing, and he says, "Oh, man, I'm sorry," and gives me this big old hug. Now, you know, this guy, 300 pounds, what does he need to say sorry to me for?
Right, right.
You know, but that's the excitement that goes on because they were so much into it. And there's a reason why I do it, not just because of breaking the table, but it also, what it does is that arm goes out, then they extend it out, and they're like shaking hands. And I always say, the ladies are hugging. I said, "Oh, guys, I don't want to see you hugging each other." But, you know, I can't say that anymore. But anyways, you know how that goes.
Need some lawyer chasing.
It doesn't matter. But it is an excitement thing that goes on, and the emotions that people show. Mm. I've had people, when you talk about some of the memories, people come in wheelchairs and compete.
Right.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to tell you right now because they got the upper body. And to see them and see their friends lifting the chair up, to put them up
there—that's great. That's
oh wonderful. Yeah, we have guys, you know, and the ladies that come. I actually had a one-arm arm wrestler in Tampa Bay at a Renaissance Festival for 6 years straight. I was doing the event in the Renaissance. Guy came up. It was kind of difficult because your other hand is balancing you, holding that peg.
Yeah.
But he went up there with one arm and arm wrestling, and this is no BS. I'm telling you right now, it's the real deal. So you see. And what I want to emphasize, and the memories, is they come from all walks of life.
Right, right.
Whether you have the gym guy, you can have clerical people, police officers. I used to do.
How about principals?
Principals. Principal, exactly. And that, you know, when you see people from all different walks of life.
Right, right.
Doing it, that it's anyone. That's what we emphasize in our events. It's for anyone.
Right.
And I like getting them out of the woodwork. And it's really neat because on my registration form, I do put down, have them put down occupation. And I kind of use that sometimes, you know, when they're coming up. It makes the crowd really excited that, wow, this is what this person does, you know.
Has he done that with you? Like,
yes, he has done that with
what
me.
What was your name? I remember it was, you told me before, your
the principal.
The principal, right, right, okay. Who was the Punisher? Somebody was named the Punisher.
Not me.
No, I can't remember. Okay.
Well, and a lot of times, let's say if you were competing, I'd be calling you Caveman.
Okay.
Or Chris Kringle.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, that's enough of that, right?
I can tell you my army name, but I won't
careful,
go there.
Careful, he'll turn your mic off.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's right, go ahead.
So, Dale, I think I'd like you to share, though, because this was a memory from my first tournament of yours. It was how you described the ladies' weight classes.
Okay.
And I really appreciated that as a woman.
So as we give awards out, and you know, our weight classes vary, but pretty much I have under 132 pounds, for instance, and then up to 140, 154, and then 177 and above and that. So in the men's classes, you know, we have lightweight, middleweight, heavyweight, super heavyweight.
Right.
All right. So in the awards for the women, I do featherweight, lightweight, middleweight. There are no awards saying heavyweight. No woman wants an award that says heavyweight. I don't care how proud they are, how their size is. I will not give an award to a woman saying heavyweight. So we go featherweight. I have welterweight, middleweight.
And then you have unlimited or something.
It's middleweight. The top weight class for a woman is going to be saying middleweight. And that's how it is. And again, it's just the outlook. And I appreciate you saying that that's something you saw. Because again, it's to have fun at the same time, you know, not insulting anyone.
Right, right.
It's like my brackets. It's double elimination event. We don't have a loser's bracket. We have a challenger's bracket. So if you lost your first match, you're still in it. And we have many times people coming up through that bracket. I hate to call them the losers, the challenger's bracket.
Right, right.
And take it. They just have to take the winner of the winner's bracket.
It's like anything.
Exactly.
You have one bad moment and you don't. You got a second chance, you know, the second chance bracket.
And I'll tell you, the ones that ask when the next event is the person who loses twice in a row. They're like, wait a minute, I'm not done. I want to do this again.
Right.
So that, then enthusiasm.
Those are the people that are going to really put themselves into it and actually practice. And
so let's put that challenge out there right now. Okay, yeah. Women, so whether you're a featherweight, lightweight, middleweight, you need to come November 9th.
That's what I was going to say. You got an event coming up?
Sure do.
And
we
got
to
tell everybody about
Erie
it.
Erie Roller Derby Girls. We got, like I said, the principal. You don't come. So November 9th in Erie, Bourbon Barrel, awesome place.
Where's that at?
It is on 12th and Street, 1213 State Street in Erie, Pennsylvania,
okay.
Bourbon Barrel. And it is called the North America Power Pool Classic, the North America Arm Wrestling Power Pool.
So they can look that up on Google or whatever.
Exactly, or look me up on Facebook. And again, registration's from 11 to 1. The tournament starts at 2 o'clock.
We need all that.
And Dan Carr is coming back, Apache Dan Carr, for this event, actually. So we're real excited about that. And we're going to have other people because we are honoring the guys from in the 1980s. In 1984, Dave Sherwood, who is one of my head refs, Dave Sherwood was the 1984 national champion. And the 1985 was the whole team. You had John Hanoski Sr.
Yeah, I was going to say,
Paul Fruin, Jim Walkowitz. Let's see who I know, of course, Dan Carr and Donnie Polanski went. And all these guys went and they won the national championship in New Mexico. Dave Sherwood, there's another one. He's real interesting. He's now a pastor. So when I say all walks of life, but I'm going to tell you, this is a pastor you do not want to meet at the table.
He's got a God helping him. That ain't fair.
I'll tell you what. He is something. Tommy Z, I call him Tommy Z because I always mispronounce his last name, Zadunsk. And I said it wrong, I know, and I apologize there, Tommy. But Tommy is a five-time state champion. By looking at him again, and he's one of my best sponsors from Stone Perfection. But Tommy, he's another head ref. But I'll tell you what, these guys, even though we've aged, it's something else. You get that grip on there.
Yeah.
People see my car. I still have hand grips from high school days, still doing it. And we were downtown doing an event, and the guy shook my hand, and he went to Cindy here. He says, holy cow, grip. Well, again, it's unassuming. And here I am, going to be 60 next year. And, do I still have that burning desire to compete again?
It never goes away.
No, it doesn't. We still think we're younger than we are.
I still want to – I think I could be a good wrestler. I know what – I mean, I learned at Clarion what to do and how to do it, every last detail. Because when I go to these high school matches, it's just frustrating because they're so bad at wrestling simple little things.
Oh yeah,
just a little
throw in that half.
Well maybe not, it all depends.
Exactly.
And you have, it's all balance and just such little things, and they're completely missing it, it's just completely not there. And I think I could, but I tell you what, I mean, I did some alumni wrestling matches. Ooh.
I'll tell you what, and so you go right back to the same thing when arm wrestling, whether you've done it, at one time, and when you used to go up there and you see them, some of the matches are quick and some of the matches aren't. I mean, 1 minute is a long time.
Oh, especially geez, if you hold like that,
So Dan, when he would go against guys that are twice his size even back then, 400 or 500, and you've got 4 minute matches.
Oh, wow.
So it's exciting. We're really looking forward to this, and it's a great spectator sport. And the neat thing.
Yeah, that's what I've never seen it. I've never seen it.
Well, you need to come out because we're also raising funds for the Lower East Side Iron Eagle.
So that is on November 9th, which is a Saturday?
It's a Saturday.
Okay. It starts at 2 o'clock?
The event starts at 2, but I encourage people to get there early, get their seat, because 11 to 1 is registration. So we want people to come and register.
Okay.
Sign
I ain't going to register. I just want to watch.
You got to come on down.
And who's it benefiting again?
The Lower East Side Iron Eagles, which they you also heard of the Lower East Side Federation. They're building a gym on Parade Street. It has taken the youth off the streets.
Yes.
Yeah. They're mentoring them and guiding them. And way back when, and again, the originator, I called Dan Carr, he took an old firehouse And I think it was Mayor Tullio at the time. They took an old firehouse, and this is where it started. And they opened up this gym. And now we have people that became deputy sheriff. Marty Davis is one. And we have people that have moved on, became great citizens. Yeah. And they all, Mike Maggio, Olympic boxer from this area. Mm-hmm. He started out there. So we're really proud of that. And here we are.
That happened to me. I mean, I was a nut job junior high. Let's say junior high. I was in trouble all the time. And my parents, my dad was definitely no model, let's say. He was drunk all the time, constantly. And we never did anything. I went out for wrestling in ninth grade. I became the county champion. I beat some undefeated guy. You know, it was just amazing. But I had the greatest coach in the world, Coach Steves. And it just changed my life completely, completely. And it just showed me that, you know, if you're working something, you can make it happen. You know, use your head. You got to think. You have to think. But if you use your head and you have the desire and you want to do something, you can do it.
And I call Erie the capital of arm wrestling. I'm going to tell you, we have so many people. Bart Wood is going on the national scene. He is a top ref for the World Arm Wrestling League. Dave Chaffee, oh, my gosh, world champion all over. I'll tell you what, awesome.
So if you do good in Erie, then you got a good future.
Exactly. We've had people like Rick Solowater. Young John Hunt, I call him young. He's not really all that young anymore. But what an awesome guy. I tell you what, John Hanosky, we did events for Toys for Tots. We've done, and then in Titusville, the arm drillers, they started off, Bill Armstrong started off with a few guys. They're up to 25 of them there, and they're doing great things. So through sport and competition, I keep saying great things.
I can tell you from experience when I was refereeing wrestling, and John would show up with his, His son was just scared to death, you know, because his dad just made so much of a racket. If he didn't, well, and he didn't win. He didn't always win. Boy, he was just, you know, I'm surprised. I'm surprised that everything worked out okay.
Well, and I tell you, and
he really did him hard. I mean, the parents, sometimes in these tournaments, the parents are the worst.
Yeah. And we, you know, Jim Wagner was captain of the team, the relentless team that went on TV, Game of Arms, you know, and that really helped out a lot for this area. And I'll tell you, though, John Hanosky being on that team at a young age, he says to this day, he says, you know, I maybe wasn't really ready for that team. But what has happened is he's been challenged because he's been competing. Everybody wants to come and say, I want to take him on in the lighter weight classes.
Yeah.
So, again, there's so many different aspects.
He's a marked man now.
And I'll tell you what, we appreciate, and I'll say we because Melissa's been doing it, to get this recognition, to be allowed to do this. And I'll tell you, radio stations and TV stations, because back in the day in the 70s, when my brother won 2 times world championships and 5-time nationals, not everybody knew about it.
Right.
And we're fortunate now to have this type of support.
On the note of that, social media. Are you on social media at all?
I am. And my name is Dale Vicos, and it's spelled V as in Victor, I-C-O-S. Look me up on Facebook, definitely. And right. Guts and Glory Productions also. I can always look that up as well.
And that's your organization?
It is. And so look me up. Ask for a friend request, and you'll find out about all the information on.
And you're taking, like, ages 16 and older?
Exactly. So if they're under, and there may be a 15, there is a certain 15-year-old that he's been beating. So for those that are under 18, I just need a parent to be there to sign for him, and I let him compete as well. And by all means, if you're 60 and above, I want to see you there too.
Right.
Well, do you got a class for 70-year-olds? Because then if you do, then I'll jump in.
I thought this was real BS. Did you actually have class now, Bill? Oh.
No. I'm a few months away from 70, so I want to.
I will tell you what. There has been people. There's a couple guys. John Shotwell competed in Tampa. There's a guy, Dave DeVito. Dave Norman, too, over in the New England states. They're in their 70s, and they are still competing.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, in Erie, we have guys that have competed. I would still not want to go against guys named Bruce Stevenson. I'm dropping these names. And Chuck Gertner. I'll tell you what. These guys, even though they competed way back when we had the Great Lakes Championships and everything else, you still don't want to compete them. They may look, but they are tough as anything.
Well, that's
tough
like
as
the
nails.
Akron Marathon, the Roadrunner Marathon down there in Akron. I was in there, and these 70, 75-year-old guys are just passing me. Now, this is 8 years ago. I mean, I made it. I made it through, but these old guys are just blowing me away. I mean, and I'm thinking, wow.
I'll tell you what, my next event, I sometimes have masters, and sometimes I call it grandmasters. Because the masters in a lot of tournaments are people that are over 40. Well, I'll tell you the truth. A lot of the people become their prime in their 40s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to tell you. So the grandmasters are usually 50 or 55-year-olds and above.
Huh. So there you go.
If you come out and want to do a build, we'll have a class for
you. So when you take that back to your high school and you let them know that the 55-year-olds are still got it. Because they don't think so.
No. I'm close to being a grandmaster myself.
You don't have to expose. You don't have to, you know, give everything away. Well, I mean, November 9th, Saturday, 2 o'clock is when it starts. Get there early.
Yes.
If you want to arm wrestle, you got to sign up.
And at the end, I think we're gonna throw in. They have a mechanical bull there, but we have a lot of fundraising activities. I believe there's going to be some Chinese auctions, some things going on, and you're going to be able to see Dan Carr there, which I'm very proud as my oldest brother being there. The whole family is going to be there. It's a family event. And you're going to see the folks that competed from years ago and the new people, the new and upcoming. So we encourage everybody, if you've never done this, this is the time to do it. If you've contemplated on entering, this is
the
event.
Well, I'm not entering. I'd like to watch.
Maybe. Exactly. And no, I'm encouraging. Come as a spectator, because you come and you say, wow, this is what it's all about.
So what's the name of the place?
It's Bourbon Barrel.
Bourbon Barrel. 12th and State.
I believe it's 1213 State Street, Bourbon Barrel is the address. So the event, you want to be there, you know, by 2 o'clock. It's a spectator sport, like I said, as well. I want to pack this house. And
Advertisement is everything. I mean, Henry Ford, they asked him and said, you got 10 cents, start a company. What are you going to do with the money? He said, I'm going to put a penny into the company and 9 cents into advertising. And it worked for him.
Okay, so now I'm gonna blow my own horn on this. So I may seem calm right now. I may seem calm and quiet. You come to the event, and it will be, I'll just say, it's going to be electrifying. I guarantee it.
Well, that's the way, you know, that's the way Danny was with those. He'd work everybody up something awful. I mean, he'd try to blow the speakers out, you know.
Well, I guess that's probably where I got it from.
Trying to ride the controls, you know, to make sure he didn't blow up our amplifiers. So, all right. Well, in that vein, I mean, I know all the work that goes into these kind of things because I've worked for five presidents. I've worked for thousands of national acts. And I know the work that goes into all these festivals, fairs, all these different kind of things. So I was digging around. I tried to find a song for you, dedicated to you, because I know you work like a bugger. So what was the name of that? Battle Born, I think, was the name of the song.
Five Finger Death Punch.
Yeah. So we'll end tonight. Thank you, Melissa, so much. I'm so glad you could make it.
The principal.
Dale. Yeah, the principal.
Come take on the principal. I'll tell you what. If you ever didn't like going to the principal's office, here's your chance. She represents all those principals of all the schools and other teachers. If you want to get back, I'm sorry, Melissa, but come take her on.
And you too, Dale. I mean, I had no idea until Cheryl said, hey, you got to interview my brother. And I, you know, it took us a while, but we finally made it, you know.
She's like my number one supporter, I'll tell you.
Yeah, she's a pusher. She, you know, with the bands and stuff, she was always out there.
And again, doing things for a lot of people.
Yeah, a lot of charity stuff. Yes. Yeah. So, Cheryl, this one's for you, too. You're battle born, too. All right, Seth? Okay, take it away. Rockin' City. Upon a time.